Seated, take your Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to read the first 9 verses. I'm going to read them to you. You follow along silently tonight. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. And pardon me, but to speed things up, I'm going to start reading while you're turning. I'll say where I'm at a couple times so that you can catch up. But 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they beheld your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, verse 3, let it not be in that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, or the wearing of the gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Verse number 6. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. Now, listen to me very carefully here. Marriage, and let me say this, I've been married this June 24th, will be 27 years I will have been married. I married my college sweetheart, and we're still college sweethearts, just a little older, amen? A little wiser, but marriage is hard. Did you know that men and women don't think the same? There's not one thing the same about woman and man other than they're human. And sometimes we wonder if we really are, all right? But it's in the book, amen? Now, marriage, though, is it doesn't have to be laborious. It's work, but it doesn't have to be something that is despised. I've said this before. Deb and I have been married almost 27 years. We've never fought. We've never screamed at each other. We've never raised our voice at each other. I always say, yes, ma'am, and I don't have to then. But no, I'm teasing. You say, well, does that mean you've never disagreed? 100 times a day. Disagreeing doesn't mean that you have to get mean, ugly, and nasty about something. We disagree on a lot of things, but ultimately the leadership of the home comes on me. And if I take her advice and it doesn't work, I don't say, you dumb woman, I told you that wasn't going to work. It's my fault for listening to her if that's the case. And it's my fault. If it was my fault, I say it's my fault. So either way, it's my fault and we win. Amen. So it's all right. Now, I say that to say this, and the world has a perverted mentality of marriage, let me tell you. Matter of fact, most of them don't care about marriage. They just shack up and live together like a bunch of old barnyard animals instead of getting married. I don't believe in that. I believe God said you're made for one man, for one woman, not one man for another man, or one woman for another woman. God doesn't believe in sodomy. He said one man, he made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And Adam didn't decide when he was 100 years old that he wasn't sure what he was either. You'll catch that one by slow freight. Marriage is more than just one relationship. Marriage is actually all of life's relationships rolled into one. Here's where most marriages fail. You see, tonight we'll renew the vows of Fred and Wally at the end of the service. But most people enter marriage, and when they get married, they only live with each other with one or two relationships in life. They're lovers and, at best, friends. Past that, they're arguing, fussing, and feuding with each other the whole time. Everybody doing all right? Man, I feel like I'm on an island all by myself. I'm going to look down here and holler amen every once in a while. Just somebody help me here. There are at least 7 different relationships rolled up in marriage. If you'll listen to somebody, and by the way, some of you have been married a lot longer than I have. My mom and dad have been married since Noah got off the ark. 54 years they've been married. When June hits, my wife and I will have been married half as long as my mom and dad. They got 54 years in. There's people in here, you have more experience, but I don't mean this unkindly. Nobody has as much experience in this room as far as marriage counsel as I do. I've counseled hundreds and hundreds and probably thousands of people in their marriages. If you'll listen to me, I think I can help you tonight. There are 7 basic relationships available in marriage to make your marriage more complete. If I hear this once, I hear it 100 times. He's just not meeting my needs. She's just not meeting my needs. Whether it be physical, whether it be spiritual, whether it be socially, whether it be mentally, whatever it is, I hear that statement over and over and over and over and over and over again. Most marriages cheat themselves out of the completion of these relationships in marriage that makes marriage sweet. Now, there's more to married life than just being lovers. There's more to married life than just being friends. Most people, at a certain period in their marriage, begin to get bored with one another. Now, listen to me very carefully. It's because they're only keeping one or two relationships in their marriage. There are more than just one or two relationships available within your marriage with your spouse. See, many people have conflict because they don't understand what relationship they need to play with their spouse at that time. And I'm not talking about a game here, but there are certain roles that you'll need to play in your marriage throughout the life of your marriage. 26, almost 27 years ago, when we stood at the altar of the Lewis Avenue Baptist Church in Temperance, Michigan, and my wife's pastor's 4'10". I'm not kidding. He's only that tall. My wife is taller than her pastor was. That tells you how short he was. And when she had heels on, she was a whole lot taller. He said, "Debbie, get those things off. I got to look up farther to you." And we got married that day, and I promised to her mom and her dad that I was going to care for her throughout our marriage. I had promised them that before. I had to promise her preacher and her church. Say why? Because she had a year of school to finish, and he pointed that little finger in my face and said, "If she doesn't finish Bible college, I'm coming after you, son." During the ceremony, 3 times he mentioned that she was going to finish college. Right, Craig? I mean, it was that bad. I said, "Yes, sir." So when she marched in the next year in May, he was there, and I said, "Told you." He said, "You kept your promise. It's going to be okay." I thought, whew. You know, a guy that tall you shouldn't be afraid of, but I was afraid of him, amen? Now, wait a minute. I promised to take care of her, take care of all her needs at that altar. I promised. The Bible says she was to leave her father and mother and cleave to me. In other words, she was leaving part of those relationships behind to come with me, and I now have to fulfill much of those relationships. And as we get older in life, as we moved around a little bit, I have to become more of those relationships to her. Let me show you what I mean. Real love is not satisfied in getting. Say that again. Real love is not satisfied in getting. Real love is satisfied in giving. "Well, he just doesn't meet my needs." Well, you're being selfish. You're supposed to be meeting his whether he meets yours or not. "Well, she just doesn't meet my need, preacher." Doesn't matter whether she does meet your needs or you meeting her needs. I've been married long enough to know this. Sometimes I think I know what I want, and when I got it, I don't think I wanted it anymore. Y'all know what I'm talking about? But I know this. I want her to have anything she wants. Now, wait a minute. You say, "Anything?" I can give my wife has the checkbook. My wife has anything she wants. I have to force her to get some things. Say, why? because she wants me to have what I want. Comes time for Christmas, we're not going to spend on each other. And I know that's a lie because she is and so am I. So this year she tried to get my daughter involved and said, okay, my daughter went shopping with her and my Christmas gift arrived 2 days before Christmas on the porch and I got to see it before it got in the door. And that wasn't fair, but it was fun. I was taking my daughter shopping. She said, Dad, I'm not supposed to tell you, but I have to know what you're going to buy because you're not allowed to spend more on Mom than she spent on you. I said, I'm the dad. You're the daughter. You can't tell me how much to spend on my wife. She said, I'm telling you, I'm going to get in trouble. I said, I don't care if you get in trouble. I'm not. So I was looking at something. She said, Dad, you can't do that. That's too much. I said, you can't tell me what to do. She said, but Dad, I'm going to get in trouble. I said, I don't care whether you get in trouble by your mom. You're not in trouble with me unless you don't shut up. You say, what is that? Because I want her to have what she wants. I want her to have what she needs. I want her to feel cared for. Love is satisfied in giving. If I didn't get one thing, I'm happy. My wife will tell you, I am the worst person in the world to ask, what do you want? Because I don't want anything. She'll go to the grocery store. What do you want? Whatever you buy. I don't want anything. You can feed me the same thing every day, and I won't complain. I really won't. Now, she will. I won't. You're boring with your taste buds. No, I just don't have big desires. I don't crave certain things. I'd rather have you get what you want than me get what I want. Boy, that's good stuff right there. I'm not the greatest illustration of it. God is. God did not get what he wanted without giving first. For God so loved the world that he gave. Love was satisfied in giving. We get so selfish in our marriage that we want, we want, and we want. That's childish. You little boys and girls, you think you love your mom and your mom and dad love you because they give you things. No, you begin loving your parents when you can start giving back to them. I taught my children from the time they were very little, Christmas time and birthdays, we'd go out shopping for mama. And I'd give them a little bit of money and they could go shopping for mama. And I didn't care what they bought for their mother. They may have bought a toy that they liked to give their mom and they got to play with it later, but at least it was theirs to play with mama with, and they were doing something for their mom. It wasn't the gift, it was the love behind the gift that was the important thing. Did y'all catch that? Now wait a minute. If you only love to get back, you're not loving. Real love only looks to give away. Now, I have to hurry. There are 7 major relationships involved in marriage. Number 1, you ready? In marriage, you have to learn to become what I call a conversationalist. You have to learn how to talk to one another. You know, a lot of homes are too quiet. People don't talk anymore. They'll text. They'll sit in the same house and text from one room to the other. You laugh. You all know I'm telling the truth, don't you? I know people that sit at the same table and won't talk, but they'll text each other. Throw the stupid phone out the window when it's time for dinner and sit there and talk to one another. 1 Peter chapter 3 verses 1 and 2 talk about that they may be won by their conversation. It means your way of living, but it also means conversation this way. It also means how you talk to one another. Did you know, I'm gonna help you with something. Learn each other's interests. Part of being a conversationalist is learning and getting interested in what the person you want to talk to about knows. let me say it this way. You retired people tend to fight more than somebody that's busy than before you were retired. Say why? Because you're cooped up in the same 4 walls all the time with each other and you're around each other too much. Part of being a conversationalist is gathering information away from someone and bringing it back and bringing it to the table to talk about. I'm not home every day, all day long. So I'm here at the office working, or I'm out in my deer stand killing something, or I'm doing something like that. And I can gather information, bring it back to the table, sit down, my wife and I talk about it while she's dealing with things that she deals with at home and with the kids and with the ladies here at the church and the different things going on in her life. And we gather information away from one another. You can do that by information you read. I'd read a lot of different types of information so that I can converse with a lot of different kinds of people. I meet all different types of people. I have to have some knowledge of business. I have to have some knowledge of the market and the money and interest rates and investments and different things like that, because I counsel people and I talk to business people. But I also have to know some things about ladies and places to go for dresses and shopping and this, that, and the other thing. You say, why? Because I talk to some of them about that. I have to know some things about decorating. You say, why? Because I help plan some of the ladies' meetings we have around here. And you'd be surprised how many ideas are actually my ideas. Now, the ladies refine them and get the right colors with it, but because I'm colorblind. But you'd be surprised how many ideas I can come up with. You see, I have to be a little bit more well-versed in knowledge. You say, why? Because I talk with a whole different level of people. I ask a lot of questions. I learn information. Brother Mike and I sometimes talk about construction because we're getting ready to build and I'm learning new things. He has an expertise there and I let him talk and I listen. And there's some other areas that I know some things about that he doesn't, and he'll ask me questions. And it's us learning to converse with one another. You know you ought to do that at home? If you sit at home and work at home, get off your duff and get out and walk around the block and see something you haven't seen before. You need to go out and gather information. By the way, that doesn't mean you have to tell each other everything that takes place at work. Do you know my wife finds out about things at this church when the church does, because she's a church member? She's not my assistant pastor. She's not my confidant that I have to tell all the things that I went through today to her. Hello. I don't tell my wife all the stressful things. You say, why? Because then I'm going to discourage her and she's not going to be able to encourage me. I don't tell her those things. I bring positive conversation to the table. Everybody doing all right? I got to hurry. Learn to converse by gathering information while you're out and about. Ladies, while you're shopping. Fellas, learn to get a little interested in the shopping. I didn't say go, just get interested. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. Oh, that's nice. How much did you save? That means she spent some too, all right? Don't worry about it, all right? Now, learn to be a good conversationalist. Number two. In marriage, you have to have a little brother-sister relationship. I want to shock you with something. Did you know that the brother-sister relationship is probably the closest to a marriage relationship there is? Everybody doing all right? I'm going to pass that one up, brother. That should not be repeated on tape. Now, wait a minute. You know how to ruin a sermon, don't you? Folks, learning to get along like a brother and sister, I know what it's like. I had a brother, 3.5 years older than I. You sit in the back seat, and the line in the middle of the seat, you don't cross it, and you're going like this and seeing how far your fingers can go, and he hit me, you know, all those kind of things. Been there, done that. Bought the farm and the T-shirt and had 3 kids of my own. And they did the same thing. But can I tell you something? When you learn to live with somebody that is like you but not like you, and you have to give in and negotiate and learn to get along, that's a lot like the brother-sister relationship. My wife has not lived at home with her brother and sister in almost 27 years. Actually, longer than that because she was at college for 3 years before then, so 30 years. She has a brother that lives in Minnesota and a sister that lives in Texas. Did you know that they can't be with her, but there's times I need to be her pesky little brother? So I am. I won't be her sister. Praise the Lord. Now, wait a minute. That means this. There needs to be a little of that picking back and forth in a fun way, not in an angered way. But there also needs to be that defense of a brother and sister. You know, two brothers can just about kill each other. But somebody picks on your brother, you're going to fisticuffs and ask questions later. That's just the way it is. Punch first, ask questions later. Amen? Fellas, that's the way it ought to be for you with your sisters. Amen? We've lost that in America. You say, you're condoning violence? Somebody comes after my wife or my daughter? Yes. All right? You know, brothers and sisters share close thoughts and experiences with one another. I don't care how bad you fight, you've talked to your brother or sister about things that are close to you. That's a little bit of the marriage relationship. Everybody understand that? All right. Number three, you have to be friends in marriage. By the way, look at 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren. He's talking about the love relationship here in marriage. And he said, love as brethren. Love as a brother and a sister would love one another. But you also have to be friends in your marriage. Can I tell you something? Friends are a whole lot easier when they like each other. All right? But the friend relationship, Mark chapter 5, verse number 19, the Bible says, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends. Tell them how great things the Lord done for thee. He's talking to the maniac of Gadara there. And he said, go home to your friends. Did you know within the walls of your house ought to be your friends? You know who the best friend I have in this world is? That little lady sitting there on the second row. My wife. Now, wait a minute. My mom and dad are our friends. You're my friends. I have a lot of friends, but the best friend I have in this world is my wife. Say, why? Because I got to live with her. She got to live with me. She stuck with me, and I got the best of the deal. Wait a minute. Your best friend should be your spouse. You got to give a little of your night out with the boys. What? And I don't mean this the wrong way. It's not every 6 months or a year, I guess. It's not too awful bad for fellas to do something like that. But I'll be honest with you, Brother Mike, I'd rather spend time with my wife one-on-one than going out and hanging out with you once a week. Ain't no hairy-legged, smelly man's ever appealed to me. Let me tell you, I'd rather spend time with my wife. Now, if Brother Mike needs something, I'll go spend time with him. But we'll go fishing or go hunting or we'll go fling manure at Joe's or something, amen? But we'll do something. But I'm not against working together. And I'm not against if you need something, I'll be there to help you. But watch this. I'd rather spend time out with my wife than anybody. I love my mom and dad, and I'll be there whenever they need. And sometimes we go out with my mom and dad. But let me tell you this. I'd rather go out with my wife than anybody on the face of the earth. I really would. I'm so proud of my son, Jeff. We went to Kentucky back in March. And my wife's birthday was coming up. He said, Dad, can I take Mom on a date for her birthday? I said, you sure may. Man, I was proud of that boy. Almost 21 years old. And he says, can I take Mom on a date for her birthday? I said, yep. So I took my daughter on a date. Wasn't her birthday or mine. We just went on a date because they were on a date and we went two separate places. Amen. Can I tell you something? I enjoy that. By the way, dating my daughter, I know this. She's not going to date some little punky kid. Number one, she's been dating me her whole life. She's not going to put up with a punky little kid. And number two, he's got to go through me to get to her first, and punky little kid ain't going to get through me. Amen. All right. By the way, your home should be filled with your friends. I got to hurry. Number four. Fourth relationship is a spiritual love relationship. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Talks about husbands loving their wives even as Christ loved the church. I'm going to tell you something. That is the source of all love. God is the source of all love. 1 John chapter 5. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Every love relationship that is strained because it's a walking with God problem. Somebody or both aren't right with God. Period. End of discussion. And I have counseled thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Let me tell you something. When I've got a brother and sister that are fighting, I'll show you one or two people that aren't right with God. When I got children fighting with mom and dad, and I got somebody that's not right with God. When you got brothers and brothers fighting, or brothers and sisters, or you got parents fussing with their kids, when you got husbands and wives fussing, I don't care what love relationship it is, if it's strained and if there's fighting going on, I'll show you one or both that in areas they're not right with God. Say, how do you know that? God said, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. About the time my wife does something and I want to blow a gasket, I get by myself and say, is that how you feel? Help me. Am I about to blow up about something I don't need to blow up about? Remember the first time my wife had never kept a checkbook, and I taught my wife how to keep a checkbook, and I remember the first time she bounced a check. Oh, my soul, I thought World War III hit. I thought the bomb blew up the house. She called me in tears. I said, what's the bomb? I bounced a check. I'm done. You take it. I said, nope, let's figure out what happened. Let's get through it. You just take it. No, you need to learn. If I die, you need to be able to take care of yourself. I'm going to teach you how to do this. Good night. She runs a checkbook better than most businesses are run. I've watched my wife chase down three pennies. I'd have just said, here we go. She's going to chase it down and find it, let me tell you. And I thank God for that. But I remember the battle getting there. Now, she thought I should be upset with her. I wasn't upset. I didn't like paying the check fee, but if that's what it took, you know, sometimes education costs something. Do you know that going to college costs something? It should, Mr. Sanders. Yeah. And that's not the colonel either. Yeah, I say Kentucky Fried Chicken over that one any day. You know, the more you learn this book and the more you learn to apply that book, the less arguing and love relationships you'll have. The closer to God you get, the more you'll learn how to love. Period. End of discussion. Did you know everything was fine between Adam and Eve till they sinned? What's the first thing Adam said? Well, God, the woman that thou gavest me, she made me do it. Adam blamed God and Eve all in the same sentence. Sound familiar, fellas? Well, it wasn't my fault. It was her fault. Well, you're the one that married her. Guess you better live up to it. Ouch. Oh, me. Amen, preacher. All right, here we go. Help me now. Number 5, and I'll pass quickly and I'll be appropriate here, but we need to be lovers romantically. You need to learn how to love your wife in a romantic way. Fellas, it's not tough for you to be a jerk all the time. I said that as nice as I know how to say that. Can I tell you something? Learn how to express your love to your wife. You know, a hug is not a bad thing. Now, two men are not like two women. I don't run up to Brother Stoltz and say, oh, can you hug me? Don't worry, I wasn't getting any closer. Trust me. If two men walked up to each other and said, oh, Brother Rich, come here. Y'all are going to say, something's wrong here. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, two women can do it, and it's just fine. Men don't understand. I need a hug. But just do it. They need it. You don't have to understand it to do it. Just do it. My daughter, when we were together recently, she said, Daddy, and she just began to hug me. She said, hug me. I said, I will. I didn't ask her how long she needed a hug. I learned a long time ago, she'll let go when she's ready. I don't ask my wife how big of a hug she wants. She'll let go when she's ready. Hopefully she never lets go. Learn to hold hands. I thank God when my wife and I go somewhere, we're holding hands usually. We kiss. Praise the Lord. There's something good about that. Amen. I waited long enough. I'm making up for it. Man, my kids, they got to be teenagers. Dad, quit kissing Mom. nasty watching old people kiss. I said, well, you better thank God for it. One of these days you're going to want to, amen? Keep your cotton picking lips off till you got a ring on her finger to do it, too. Now, wait a minute. Sit there with your arm around her. I don't get to sit with my wife in church, but I promise you this, Monday night, first time in years we got to sit together in church. I had my arm around her, or we held hands the whole time. Say why? We don't get to do that. I'm going to put a chair up here and make her sit beside me all the time, amen? Now, wait a minute. Learn to look into each other's eyes and talk to one another and say I love you to each other. Learn to, by the way, I'm going to make a statement here. It's going to be in my shy, timid way. Hollywood, internet, social media is full of lust and porn. Your marriage is not better because of it. It's worse. You wonder why marriages break like they do, because you get anything that you want by pictures anytime you want. You don't need your wife. Can I tell you something? That's why we got a bunch of sodomites running around. We have worn ourselves out sensually to where we've got to experiment in things that are not natural. Romans chapter 1, read it sometime. Children are taught in the public school system from kindergarten on about the physical relationship between a man and a woman. Some things should be kept for just before marriage. And I got to hurry. I could preach a whole sermon right there and will someday soon. Number 6, you need to be gracious hosts and hostesses to one another. 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise, your husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. That doesn't mean that they're going to know what you know, but learn your wife. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. That term, giving honor unto the wife, that means this. Sometimes you have to treat her with honor and dignity. By the way, it says, and being heirs together of the grace of life. Did you know you ought to open the door for her? Not just when somebody's looking. And by the way, ladies, if somebody opens the door, it's appropriate to say, thank you. Every once in a while, I'll be somewhere and hold the door for somebody, and they'll be shocked. Somebody held the door for me. And then you got such masculine women today, you go to hold the door for them. Oh, that's okay. Go ahead. No, you go first. No, you don't understand. My daddy will whoop me if I don't hold this door. You get through that door, woman. And then they just like that, and I'll say, you're welcome. I had one lady one day, she didn't say thank you. She just grunted as she went through, and I said, you're welcome. She said, I didn't say thank you. I said, I know, but I said, you're welcome anyway. She stomped off. Say, did that bother you? No. That's her problem, not mine. I didn't do it necessarily for her as much as I did because it was the right thing to do. You know, we ought to treat each other at home that way. You know, I try to help my wife. Now, fellas, your definition of help and her definition of help might be two different things. There's times she doesn't want your help. Okay? Just learn when she says, no, it's okay. And then you start and she says, no, it's really okay. That means get out. Say, how do you know? Don't ask that question to my wife. You know, I try to serve my wife. I try to make sure that if her drink needs filled, I fill it. If something got forgot at the table, I get up and go get it. She'll get mad, but I can get up faster than her. I try to help clean the dishes off and get things put away. She does a lot of the work, so why can't I help? You see, we need to learn how to serve one another. We need to learn to be hosts and hostesses to each other. By the way, there's times I can help her clean up in the kitchen, but there's some things, it's her kitchen, and just let her have it. It's her domain, amen? If she doesn't want your help, get your cotton picking self out of there and don't worry about it. And there's other, I'll often say, do you need help? Oh, no, it's okay. Well, if it's cleanup, I can do it. If it's cooking, I'll say, do you need my help? Yeah, okay. And if she says, nope, got it, I don't help her with the cooking. Now, I can handle myself in the kitchen. But I'm glad she does it because I don't have time for it. Say, well, it's not exactly the way I would have done it. Then go do it yourself. Okay. In decorating in our home, I try to help my wife. She picks the colors. She picks whatever she wants, and I slap it on the walls. Amen. I'll paint it any color she wants. I don't care. say, well, what if she'd painted your bedroom pink? It was pink for years. I don't care. It's dark when I'm in there, when I go to bed. It's dark when I get up. I don't have to look at it. I'm not in there with my eyes open inspecting the color. I don't care. As long as she's happy, I don't care what color it is. I really don't. You say, you really mean that, preacher? I really mean that. Nah, I won't tell on that lady. But one of our ladies came to church today with two different color shoes on, and she showed me after church. She said, how colorblind are you? I said, colorblind enough not to know that. Now, wait a minute. And we were joking about it. You need to learn to serve each other. Learn to be a host or a hostess. Learn to teach your children to do that as well. Number seven, and I'm done. You need to learn to be partners in marriage. You know, business partners look out for one another. Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Do you know, if Brother Gus and I went into business together, he would have areas of decision-making, and I would have areas of decision-making. And I would have to defer to him in his area because that's the area he was given. I might say, Brother Gus, are you sure we ought to do it this way? Yep, okay. Even if I think I have a better idea, I have to submit to him, or I should. That's why most business people don't get along, because they all want to run the show. Can I tell you what happens in a marriage? You make too many decisions together and you cross over into too many areas. We have defined lines. My wife takes care of the inside of the house. I take care of the outside. If I want to mow the grass this way, it's fine. If I want to mow it this way, it's fine. If I want to mow it diagonal that way or diagonal that way, it's my decision. She doesn't say, well, you missed a spot. What'd you do it that way for? It's mine. Just like I don't go through the house and saying, well, you didn't clean that or you didn't do that. Why didn't you do that? Normally you do this on this day. Why didn't you do it today? That's none of my business. Maybe she had a rough day. She's not my daughter. She's my wife. So we have very defined areas. Decide who has what areas and learn to work with each other. When it comes to finances, I have the overall say, but I promise you this, before I spend any money of most any amount, she and I talk long before we ever spend it. We try to look down the pike a little bit and say, well, I got an extra $100 this week. I got $100 more to spend. Why don't you put it aside, because you're going to have a $100 problem come up before too long. We live in an instant society. I got it, spend it. Got it, spend it. Why don't we work together on it? I kind of have a little rule. I don't spend anything on me unless I spend the same amount on her. That doesn't mean I go out and spend $500 on a new gun and then say, okay, you go spend $500. Now I'm $1,000 in debt because I didn't have it. I make sure she gets what she's going to get first before I get what I get. Everybody understand that? Boy, that'll cut your spending down in a hurry, won't it? Did you know you can fix things or do it the old-fashioned way without having to go buy a new tool? Man, I'm having fun. I'm feeling... Amen, preacher! All right. Make a statement here. Marriage is not 50-50. It's 100-100. Marriage is not 50-50. It's 100-100. Partnership is not to see how much you can get for yourself. It's the joining of two lives to see how much you together can do. Why is it that we want to fight with our partner all the time? Well, I know how to do this and I know a better way. It's not your area. Keep your mouth quiet. If they ask for advice or you say, would you like a little help with that? And they say no, then let them struggle and cut the board three times the wrong way. I've made plenty of mistakes. Makes me mad. She doesn't help me then. Praise the Lord. Then she doesn't have to see me get mad. Say, did she have better ideas? Sometimes. You know what? I learned something, though. I need my wife. I want her. And I want her happy, even when I'm not happy. That way, she can pick me up when I'm not happy. Make sense to everybody? In marriage, there's seven basic relationships, and we cheat ourselves in our marriages by not fulfilling all of those relationships. We so often just want to be a friend or a lover, and that's it. But there are five other relationships that balance a marriage and keep it rolling in a good direction. It keeps things lively, keeps things moving. I didn't say you're always going to agree. My wife and I don't always agree. But can I tell you something? We don't have to agree to get along with one another. It's not my way is the only way. If I'm looking for her to get what she wants and she's looking for me to get what I want, guess what? We're not fighting over who wants what for themselves. And it sure does cut down on the fussing and the feuding. Let me say this. Man wants to get to heaven his own way. Man has chosen getting baptized or joining churches or trying to live a good life or making statues and praying to statues or keeping certain rituals or doing whatever man wants to do. Man has taken God's word and even rewritten it into different perversions. Rewritten it and rewritten it and rewritten it. No, we're supposed to obey the God that loves us, who is the source of all love. I can prove to you that evolution is a lie. Everything's supposed to be getting better. Just look around. It's not getting better. We have people killing each other every day in the streets of America, worse than a war zone. And the problem isn't the guns, it's the people. You put a gun on this pulpit, leave it loaded, and it's not going to shoot itself. It takes a person to pull the trigger. I know people have carried a gun every day of their life for dozens of years and never had to pull it out and shoot a person. So it's not the gun, it's the person. Everybody doing okay? I don't care what Hillary says. It doesn't take a village, it takes God. Amen. Folks, God loves you. He loved you enough that he didn't want you to die and go to hell. So he gave us Jesus Christ. Jesus came and paid our sin debt for us. Now watch this. He had to do that so God could get man back, because man's sin separated himself from God. The devil committed the same sin before man did, and God sent the devil to hell. According to the book of Matthew, hell was created for the devil and his angels. But God loved man so much, he gave us Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. But by the way, he didn't live God's life on earth. He lived the life man was supposed to live back in the Garden of Eden. That's why he's called the second Adam. He lived that perfect sinless life, died at the cross, shed his blood, was buried in 3 days, and 3 nights later he resurrected out of the grave and put his blood on the mercy seat in heaven so that you and I could be restored and have our sins forgiven and get back to heaven. You don't get to heaven by what you do. You get to heaven by what God gave you. All you have to do is reach out and take it. 28 years ago, when I proposed to my wife, I offered her a proposal in marriage, but she had to say yes. She had to say yes, and it wasn't finalized till we actually did it at the altar, and it wasn't the night before at the rehearsal either. It was the next day. Now, wait a minute. You have to say yes to God's proposal to you. It's not a matter of getting baptized. Not a matter of what you do. It's a matter of what he did, and you just saying yes and accepting it. That's how we get to heaven. What a beautiful picture of what our marriage is. God gives, we accept. We try to love him back, he loves us more. We get into this love relationship, every head bowed, every eye closed. Who tonight would say, "Preacher, I am 100% sure, not going to lie to you, I won't lie to God, but I know 100% sure I'm going to heaven when I die." Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. I won't embarrass anybody. I won't force anybody to do anything. But is there one tonight that would say, "Preacher, if I die tonight, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that someday." Would you raise your hand? All right. There's one. Is there another? All right. In a moment, we'll stand. But before we do, who'd say, "Preacher, tonight, somewhere in that sermon, God used that to help me. Maybe I'm married, maybe I'm not married. Maybe I'm a young person and someday I'll be married, but something in that sermon is what I needed tonight. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores and scores of hands. In a moment, the piano will play. As the piano begins to play, we'll stand to our feet. If you raised your hand a moment ago, why don't you come and use this altar? Some of you husbands and wives ought to come together. Some of you parents and children ought to come together. Or a brother and a sister ought to come together and pray at this altar tonight.